Today, my dear faithful, is the second Sunday of Lent. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 17. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter, answering, said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples, hearing, fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise, and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. A voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Ireland, centuries ago, my dear faithful, the pagan religion of Druidism ruled the land. Druids worshipped nature, bowing before its awesome might, kneeling to pray to trees, and offering human sacrifice to appease nature's fickle will. Of course, as St. Paul tells us, it was not truly nature they worshipped, but instead the worship of demons. For centuries, Druidism held Ireland in its clutches, until in the 5th century, two of the High King's personal Druid priests made this solemn prophecy. He comes, with shaven crown from off the storm-tossed sea. His garment pierced at the neck, with crooked staff comes he. Far in his house at its east end, his cups and pattens lie. His people answer to his voice, Amen, Amen, they cry. The Druids interpreted this prophecy as a forewarning of a conqueror, a man who would establish his rule over Ireland. From across the sea, this conqueror would come, a foreigner to their land. He would wield a staff of authority, and a new religion he would bring. And this new religion would be the death of Druidism, as well as the Druids' power. So total would be the conqueror's rule, the Irish people as a whole would clamor in agreement to his words. For 3 years, the pagan priest watched carefully for this man, offering sacrifice to their idols to ward him away. Finally, they recognized their enemy, for a newly consecrated Catholic bishop arrived on the Emerald Isle, and Patrick was his name, better known to us as Saint Patrick. Once a slave to an Irish chieftain, now Patrick returned as a man of authority, with the bishop's crozier in his hand and teaching the Catholic faith. The Druids understood their prophecy was fulfilled, but still they hoped to stop its fulfillment. The pagan priest flocked to the High King, giving dire warnings. If Bishop Patrick was not stopped, the kingdom and Druidism would be overturned, the pagans claimed. Eventually, after great trials and as well as some great conversions, Saint Patrick appeared at the High King's court. He was received by the king, but this was all part of the Druids' plan to destroy him. The Druids offered St. Patrick a goblet of wine, a toast to his arrival, they said, along with some poison strong enough to kill him in moments. The bishop accepted the goblet, but before he took a sip, he blessed it with the sign of the cross. Immediately, a frozen droplet appeared in the wine, for God froze the poison that the Druids hoped to kill Patrick with. The pagans saw their plan of murder was foiled, and so they challenged Patrick to a fight of magic to prove whose God was stronger. There are various accounts of what actually happened next, but one thing is certain. No matter the diabolic magic the Druids worked, St. Patrick's prayers turned them aside. Finally, after repeated defeats, the Druid made his greatest challenge. He demanded not Patrick, but one of the bishop's servants enter a cottage nearby, along with the pagan himself. Then that cottage would be lit aflame. Whoever survived the fire, their God would surely be the greater. One of St. Patrick's clerics offered to take this trial, and so St. Patrick took off his own cloak, then draped it around the shoulders of that cleric. The fire was lit, and soon the whole house consumed by the roaring flame. All was dust and ashes when the Catholic cleric stepped out, completely unharmed, while the Druid priest was nowhere to be found. At this sight, the king gave permission to St. Patrick to preach throughout his kingdom. St. Patrick did indeed conquer the Irish people by teaching the faith and winning their hearts to God Almighty. Forever, the name of St. Patrick will be dear to the Irish heart, and his glory in heaven shall shine forth. When we, please God, behold his glory in heaven, he will resemble our Savior in today's gospel, as the apostles Peter, James, and John saw him on Mount Tabor. Our Lord's face and hands glowed with a brilliant light, a light brighter than the sun. Even Christ's clothes were transformed, for they became so white that nothing on earth could compare to this magnificence. Two men stood on either side of Christ. One was Moses, the lawgiver of the Old Testament, and the other was Elias, the greatest of the prophets. Then a powerful voice sounded from on high and resounded around them. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." In this scene on Mount Tabor, my dear faithful, our Lord allowed a fragment of his heavenly glory to reveal itself, and the apostles fell down in adoration before it. Peter, James, and John were so overcome with joy at this sight that they missed the purpose of this vision of glory. As the Gospel of St. Luke tells us, Moses and Elias spoke with our Lord about his coming passion. Amidst all this glory, there lay the cross. It is as if Christ would say, "Even in my glory, I have planned the passion. Only through the cross will the splendor of redemption be won." Our Lord wished to strengthen the apostles with his vision, that beholding Christ in glory, they would be prepared for seeing him laid low in the passion. However, that was not what the apostles wanted or expected. They longed for a glorious conqueror, not a suffering savior. They hoped to follow Christ as his lieutenants in the overthrow of the Roman Empire and the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. They wanted something like what the Druids had, positions of power and authority under the sheltering might of a high king. Because of this, the Druids, and at first the apostles, rejected the idea of the suffering Christ. This conqueror who achieved his great victory over his enemies by dying for those enemies and earning forgiveness for them. What clouded the apostles' and Druids' minds, my dear faithful, the reason they refused to submit was their desire for earthly power, to be exalted above their neighbor. In a word, it was pride. Pride is defined by theologians as the inordinate desire for one's own excellence. Like all mankind, both apostles and Druids thought too highly of themselves, their excellence, so that they put their own good, their desire for power and glory, before everything else. It is truly astonishing how common this vice is in each and every one of us. In fact, every sin has at its root the vice of pride. When we sin, we ignore God's law, the plea of our conscience, and our duties to our fellow man. And we do, instead, what is convenient for us. Our comfort and our wants are simply more important because we are excellent. At least our pride tells us that. We deserve better because we are better. How contrary this is to our Lord's teaching. Hear the words of Christ. Study the Son of God's life. And what lesson will you learn? "Learn of me," Christ implored, "for I am meek and humble of heart." Humility, then, the virtue contrary to pride, that is what our Lord would have us learn. Theologians define humility as the virtue which curbs man's inordinate desire for personal excellence and inclines him to recognize his own worth in its true light. Humility is the Catholic path to greatness. We reach for glory through lowering ourselves. Humbly bearing our cross is how we triumph over this world, and like our Lord, are transfigured with the splendor of heaven. Fallen human nature clouds our eyes, whether we realize it or not, to forget our weaknesses and exalt our strengths, as well as to forget their true origin, God's grace. What is our true worth then? It is nothing, because all that we can claim as belonging wholly and completely to ourselves is really only our sins. All good that we have comes to us from God's grace. But, my dear faithful, how do we practice this humility in everyday life? St. Francis de Sales gives this practical means when he says, "How much better it would be to accommodate ourselves to others rather than to want to bend everyone to our ways and opinions." Pride sets us above and against everyone else, while the true practice of humility sets us below our neighbor. I encourage you then, my dear faithful, to strive to be humble, following after the example of Christ. Let us take up the practice of humbly yielding in matters of opinion or lesser importance. When you are contradicted, or someone says something you disagree with, before you respond, stop for a moment and think. Why am I about to say this? Is it to add to the conversation, make it more interesting, entertaining, or holy? Or is it because I am right? I know better. I am excellent. We should remember, my dear faithful, that St. Patrick is not a glorious saint now, despite being a lowly slave. He was a conqueror of souls because he was a slave throughout his life, a servant to Christ and his neighbor, constantly putting others before himself. And now he is resplendent with the glory of heaven. Please God, may we all earn such glory through humbly bearing our cross. May God the Father save us one day, as he said of his divine Son on Tabor, "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.